What we are trying to do is understand we have a relationship with the Supreme Absolute Truth, Personality of Godhead, and we are trying to act in that relationship and then achieve the perfection of that relationship. These are the three categories that the Vedic literature is divided into. All the information you find in the Vedic knowledge can be categorized under, first of all, understanding what is your relationship with the Supreme. Secondly, acting in that relationship. And thirdly, the fruits of that relationship. Sambandha Abhideya and Prayojana in Sanskrit. Everyone's interested in relationships, but the mystery of life is our relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Relationship means personal. You cannot have a relationship with something impersonal. Because people think that the Supreme has to be the opposite of what they've experienced in material life. Therefore, they speculate that the Supreme Absolute Truth must be impersonal. Since they have experience of personal, therefore they imagine that perfection must be impersonal. With this kind of logic and reason, they'll never enter into the spiritual world, which is full of spiritual variety and perfect personal characteristics. So we are not exchanging the faulty personal life of the material world for an imaginary impersonal perfection. No, we are exchanging the faulty personal characteristics of the material world for the perfect personal characteristics of the spiritual world. Everyone likes relationships when they're going nicely. Without a nice relationship, you feel cast adrift on the sea. But when you have a nice relationship and it's going good, then zing goes the strings of your heart. That's the most important thing to us, nice relationships. And we feel bad and sad when we think no one likes us. Or someone that we want to like us doesn't like us. And we feel unloved. In this way, we have a sense of emptiness. Krishna consciousness, bhakti yoga, means the quest for the Supreme Beloved object. What is the best recipient of our love? That is what our intelligence is meant to understand. With your intelligence, you should see how you're trying to love matter, which is impossible. And then you should redirect that intelligence for adopting the best methods to revive your love of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, from whom all energy emanates, including all matter. As long as we are making no progress in trying to love Krishna, then we'll feel unsatisfied and we'll be forced to try to be fulfilled within the material energy, which is always a failure. How do you begin your relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead? It's always there, eternally, but we've forgotten. We're lost in a dream. That's why Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Mamayavam Shoji Baloke Jiva Bhuta Sanatma. You conditioned souls are eternally my parts, but now you are in the wrong atmosphere, the material atmosphere, struggling with your material senses. But the fact is you're eternally my part. That cannot be erased. Sometimes devotees who are more familiar with Krishna conscious philosophy, they get entangled in the question of did we originally come from the spiritual world or what? Or is it possible to fall from the spiritual world? The Acharyas have instructed that this is a fruitless area of inquiry because it's bound by when, time, your thinking and the origin of the jiva, the origin of the conditioned soul, has beginnings beyond time. So it's even the concept of the question is very, very difficult. It's not that in Krishna consciousness top out of trying to answer that question. No, the answer is given in Srimad Bhagavatam. It depends on your angle of vision. Therefore, different acharyas, they stress different angles of vision. In one sense, you have never left Krishna. So some acharyas, they stress that. You cannot fall away from Krishna. You cannot fall from the spiritual world. Why is that? Because actually everything is spiritual. Sarvam kalvidam brahma, the Vedas say. All the energy is spiritual. The Vishnu Purana also says, Vishnu Shakti Praprota. The energy of Vishnu, the Shakti of Vishnu, has three categories: internal, marginal, and external. The internal means the spiritual energy. The marginal means the living entities. You can go either way, material or spiritual. And the external energy, abhijit karma samyanya. That's the nescience potency that fills the living entity with karmic activities and makes them godly. All these energies, however, they are Vishnu Shakti. They are originally, they are actually spiritual. But Krishna has been acting in different ways. So in that sense, you can say the material world is the spiritual world. Of course, you may say that, but without the actual vision and realization. What is the point? One Srila Prabhupada was walking in New York in a very dilapidated part of town, and devotees were commenting how slummy this section of New York was. And Prabhupada replied that if you could see it for what it actually is, you would see the spiritual world. So that is highest vision, how there's no matter, there's just spirit. In Bhagavad Gita, however, Krishna asks you to see the difference between matter and spirit. In the seventh chapter, Krishna says, I've got two energies, one inferior and one superior. So the Lord asks you, you see the difference. You do that first, and then much later in your spiritual progress, you can experience things on the highest platform in which you don't see anything separate from Krishna. That's the vision of the available on the highest platform of bhakti, in which you certainly see the things of this world, but immediately they remind you of Krishna. And so actually you're simply seeing Krishna everywhere. So either one, you can say according to your angle of vision, and different acharyas, they stress different angles of vision of the same thing according to the audience. If you say you've never left the spiritual world, that is correct. You cannot get away from Krishna. You are spirit soul. You're eternally Krishna's servants. But at the same time, if you say that you have fallen, you have forgotten Krishna, you are correct. So how do you resolve that? You can stress either side. It's not that the acharyas are in argument with one another. Not at all. You just, according to your angle of vision, according to what is the best angle of vision to be presented at a certain time. Just like these days, you tell everybody, you never left the spiritual world, you're in the spiritual world now, you're always with Krishna. What's everyone going to think? Wow, let's enjoy our senses. Great, just as I thought, you know. It's all spiritual, yeah. I have a spiritual girlfriend. Let's go to a spiritual rugby then. This is all, you know, that's the way it is right now. So, therefore, the acharyas, they stress. You have fallen. You have forgotten Krishna. Just like when you're sleeping and you're dreaming. What shall you stress? That you're in the dream, or that actually the dream is inconsequential? Depends on how you want to present it. To someone who's awake, they know that although you're lost in a dream, the dream is actually just a mirage. So actually you're not in the dream. But to someone who's in the dream, they actually feel it going on as real. Very simple to understand if you read Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto. Prichit Maharaj asked the question to Shukadeva Goswami, how can it be that the pure spirit soul contacts the material body? And that happens. And Shukadeva Goswami replies that it only happens in a dream. It's like someone who's sleeping, watching themselves doing things in a dream. In the dreamlike material world, you can act out that you're separate from Krishna. But actually, that can never be there. So therefore, both are correct. Yes, you can never get away from Krishna. He Lord also explains that in the second chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, that even the illusory energy is also Krishna. Krishna explains to Lord Brahma in the second canto that whatever you see that's not me is also me. In other words, as soon as you think there's something not Krishna, that's also Krishna. Krishna has an energy which makes you think there's no Krishna, but that energy is also Krishna. So not Krishna is also Krishna. All you have to do is read Srimad Bhagavatam, read the Kanda Sarva Bhagavata, you understand everything. It takes you all your life to understand those books. The purports are so deep. You read and read again and again and again, try to grasp the themes. So sometimes in some Bhagavatam purports, you'll read, living entity never falls in spiritual world, it's not possible. And others you'll read, living entity that left the spiritual world needs to go back to Godhead. But just remember, Sukadeva Goswami speaking to Prithamara. It's a dream. Now, how do you take a point of reference? From within the dream or from without the dream? Do you analyze the situation from the vision of someone who's lost in the dream or from the vision of someone who's awake and watching the person sleep? There's no contradiction. It's just the subject matter is so deep, different angles of vision are possible. Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, Anadi Karma Phale, Babi Bhavarna Vasto. You can't trace out the beginning of your history in material existence. It's not possible, because your beginning comes from beyond time. You can't say step one, step two, step three. That's all referring to things that happen within the material world. But you're from outside the material world, so to speak. But you have to be wary when you use these terms, inside and outside. These are terms meant for just speaking inside the material world, outside the material world. Krishna comes into the material world. This is all time and space thinking, which it doesn't apply, but you have to have some way of talking. But Krishna is everywhere. The spiritual energy is everywhere. So, yes, we've never gotten away from Krishna. And even when we delude ourselves and think we've forgotten Krishna, that's also Krishna. The illusion belongs to Krishna. That same energy, Maya, that causes us illusion, when you become advanced in spiritual life, it becomes mercy in that it pushes you back to Godhead. I remember when you were a little kid and you were running and a little dog came nipping at your heels. You would run faster. That's what Maya does for someone who's advanced in Krishna consciousness. It makes you go faster back to Godhead. But in the beginning, you're afraid of the little dog. And it's healthy to have a fear of Maya. But that Maya, Krishna claims in Bhagavad Gita, Mama Maya, Bhagavad. It's my energy. It's my Maya, my illusion, which is so difficult to overcome. But if you surrender to me, then it's possible to overcome it. Dayuviyesha gunamai, mammaya bhavatara. Maneveye prapajyante, mayam etam tadantite. So yes, we cannot get away from Krishna. And yes, we've forgotten Krishna. Both are going on. Depending on your angle of vision. Now, how are we going to revive our awareness of Krishna, our relationship with Krishna? That is the business of chanting Hare Krishna. Chanting Hare Krishna renovates your relationship with the Supreme Lord. And you begin to taste the fruits of that relationship. And that relationship with Krishna can go on irrespective of happiness and distress. Material world means sukha, dukkha, happiness, distress. Both disturb, we were discussing last night in our Gita class, how we ask people, how can it be that happiness is a disturbance? How does Krishna instruct that you should not be disturbed by distress or happiness? Everyone knows what it's like to be disturbed by distress, but to be disturbed by happiness? Well, both things are unwanted. Both things are external agitations. So Krishna tells Arjuna in the second chapter, one who is not disturbed by happiness or distress is a suitable candidate for liberation. And what is liberation? Liberation just doesn't mean freedom from misery. But once you stop suffering, what do you do then? Real liberation means perfect activity in your relationship with Krishna. And that's what the Hare Krishna mantra provides. The Hare Krishna mantra takes you beyond liberation. Liberation is insignificant for the proper chanter of the holy names of the Lord. So your daily chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is your life and soul for acting in your relationship with Krishna. You're saying, my dear Lord, please engage me in your service. For so long I've served the illusory energy. Now please allow me to serve your spiritual energy. And naturally, when you properly chant Hare Krishna, you'll find that you can easily engage in Krishna's service because you've been asking for it. So when it comes, don't turn it down. You've been fingering your beads and vibrating the Maha Mantra, requesting service. Krishna does not give away service very easily, because by devotional service, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, can be conquered. But when Krishna comes as Lord Chaitanya, he's much more liberal, and he gives himself away very easily. And he gives opportunity to serve him very easily. Therefore, an essential, the most essential part of our activities here is chanting Hare Krishna. Every one of you should arrange your life so the main thing is your spiritual development. You have to have adequate time and space for gathering your spiritual focus and keeping it fixed. That means hearing and chanting about Krishna. That's watering the creeper of your devotion. You don't water a plant, it dries up, it withers away. Similarly, if you don't have an adequate arrangement in your life for watering your devotional creeper through hearing and chanting, you'll grow weak. All the other services are based on hearing and chanting about Krishna. Then you'll have solid spiritual growth and not be just a flash in the sky. Those of you who want to become mature devotees of Krishna, you have to have a solid platform of hearing and chanting about Krishna. You must cultivate a taste for hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. That may seem like it takes effort at first, but the more you find out about Krishna, the more you glorify Krishna, the more your taste will increase. Everyone can do that, man, woman, child, old person, everyone can arrange their life so they are developing a taste for the Lord's glories. What does Krishna tell Arjuna at the end of the 10th chapter in the Gita? In the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explained all about his vibhutis, his opulences that you can see in the material world. Krishna explains, yajad vibhuti matsatyam. Whatever you see in the material world, that's all his splendor. But then Krishna tells Arjuna, asava bahunaitena kim yatena tava Arjuna vishtavyaham idam kritsnam ekam sena satojaya. Arjuna, actually, what's the use in me having spoken this whole chapter to you about my glories in the material world? Just know this one thing. With simply a portion of myself, I'm maintaining the whole world as a super soul. It's just a portion of myself. The first understanding of the Supreme Absolute Truth is very incomplete and hazy. That is understanding the Supreme in terms of Brahman, the impersonal spiritual energy. A little more advancement means understanding the super soul in everyone's heart, in every atom. The super soul of the universe, like that. But real spiritual knowledge means understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How everything rests on the Personality of Godhead. Bhagavan. In order to know what is God, you must understand what is God. To know who is the Supreme, you must know what the qualifications of the Supreme are. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not because we choose him arbitrarily, but because he is Sadaishvarya Purna, unlimitedly, infinitely full of all six opulences, personal opulences. The very things that make you attractive, the very things that attract you to someone, are, yes, Krishna has those unlimitedly. Therefore, Krishna is uniquely qualified as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's not some arbitrary, mythological, cultural thing. It's recognition of who has what it takes to do the job. What does it take to do the job of the Supreme? It takes unlimited quantities of those opulences. Wealth, fame, strength, renunciation, beauty, knowledge. How could you think the Supreme is impersonal? Is that attractive? An impersonal cloud or energy or however you imagine it? No form, no qualities. That attracts you? No. Everyone's attracted to personal qualities, personal existence. So Krishna displays the most extraordinary personal existence. And all Krishna's displays of qualities and activities are beyond deterioration. They've got nothing to do with time or space. Krishna's personal qualities and activities are beyond time and space. Yet Krishna can, you can say, appear within the material world and display his pure personal activities with no problem. Now what happens when you try to display your activities in the material world? Heaps of problems. So the intelligent person wants to understand Krishna. And Krishna is indeed worthy of the lifetime study. You can read the Krishna book over and over and over again. Never get tired of it. It's a constant wonder how you can read these books over and over again. And just go on and on and on and on. And you can chant Hare Krishna. Don't waste time. Chant the Maha Mantra. And by doing so, you are reviving and renovating your relationship with Krishna. So that is what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to have adequate arrangements for hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. That should be our specialty, our nourishment. Have a good time glorifying Krishna. Take the glories of Krishna very seriously. Make it your ambition to get a taste for glorifying Krishna. Any questions? What is the material energy? Yes. Krishna says in the beginning of the seventh chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Biname Prakriti Ashtadam. It's my separated energy. In other words, it seems, in other words, the energy seems like it's got nothing to do with Krishna. Just like when, if you play back that recording, I won't be there. So it can seem like the recording's got nothing to do with me. It's separated. But actually, it's dependent on me. The material gives the impression of being shorn or torn from Krishna. You understand? It's exactly not the case. It just gives that impression. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna asks you to see that you are in the material world. But first you have to deal with that. still, Krishna in Bhagavad Gita is also explaining to you that material energy is not separate from it. It's his energy. And Krishna is all spiritual. For Krishna, there's no matter. Matter is for those who forget Krishna. Matter actually means forgetfulness of Krishna. For Krishna, he never forgets himself. Any other questions?
What's the perfect place for the, if there is a perfect place for the Vasana to grow by Krishna?
You have to actively cultivate a taste for it. You have to actively set aside some time where you're going to actually indulge in the glories of the Lord. And that indulgence will lead to a deeper and deeper taste. It's not a question of belief in Krishna. Although Krishna is so attractive that even belief in him will do you such good. But it's more a process, means activity. Indulge yourself in the glories of the Lord. Well, yeah, you're asking something else. But yes, you should seize every chance to glorify Krishna. See what it does for you. See how your dosha creeper blossoms when you start seizing every opportunity to glorify the Lord. Okay, praise the Lord. Now, what is it about the Lord that we praise? Give us some personal information. That is the unique contribution of Srimad Bhagavatam. Presents everything about the personality of God. So it's nice to say praise the Lord. But even better is to know the specific characteristics and activities of the Lord to praise Him. Like I said, I know nothing about Errol. So I said, praise Errol! Okay, but much better would be if I knew things he'd done or things about him that are praiseworthy. And everybody would agree, you know him better. Yeah, this is more effective, you actually know something about it. And if I've taken the trouble to know something about him, naturally he would feel that I really care for him. Otherwise, you know, it's a rough example, but I suppose he walked in the room and said, praise Errol. I can prove that, but come on, what do you know about me? That'd be your first question. Yeah, praise me. Oh, sure, sure. But can you mind telling me where you first hear about me? Just let me know. What's there about me that really attracts you? If you don't mind me asking. Is that what you think? Yeah. First, you'd be quite pleased if they're saying praise Errol. Yes. I don't want to discourage you, but I just like some further information. Actually, where did you first hear about my glories, and what particular parts of you are attractive? Then there's relationship. Then there's personal knowledge. Through the process of bhakti yoga, you are, as we said, renovating, reviving your relationship with Krishna. Don't forget that. That is your career. Don't lose sight of what you're doing. Work at, those of you who want to be serious, work at developing a taste for Krishna's glory. Sometimes you'll feel like you lost that taste. And then you can go through the ecstatic process of reviving your taste. Sometimes it feels like that, even when you haven't lost it, you feel like you've lost it. Where is Krishna? Where is my taste? And then you can go about strengthening your taste, reviving your taste. That's their main career. Understanding your relationship with Krishna, acting in that relationship, and tasting the fruits, the perfection of that relationship, pure love of Krishna. Everyone loves love. But real love is an unknown thing in this world. But real love can be tasted in your relationship with Krishna. Bhakti Yoga is about real love. And by your reviving your relationship with Krishna, then you can love others. Krishna consciousness is the love religion. It's the most scientific, profound, and deep love religion. People don't understand that because they think, wow, you guys follow such strict rules. How can there be love? No, it's about nothing but love. As devotees, we're not afraid to love one another because it's in relation to Krishna. Devotees help one another how to be more Krishna conscious. That's love. Devotees are very dear to each other because they're part of Krishna. Krishna's servants are very dear to them. So we're not afraid to love devotees. In the higher stages of spiritual advancement, we love non-devotees also, but the problem is, you can catch a few diseases. In that by association with materialists, you become materially contaminated. So we show our love for materialists by trying to give them Krishna. And we show our love for devotees by acting so that they are Krishna conscious and peace. The greatest love a devotee can show you is to act for your spiritual advancement, whether you know it or not. That's the greatest love. Of course, we all think, you all may think, love is when, you know, you just know someone's just like, you know, giving you a big embrace, and you know, with this warm feeling deep in your bones. you gotta know it. No. You may not recognize it, still it's love. When someone acts for your spiritual advancement, that's love, whether you know it or not. So, Bhakti Yoga is the love process, the science of love. It's just that we have to allow for some time for our version of what love is to change from lust to love. Flesh crazy, mind crazy, grasping at flesh and grasping at mind, thoughts. That's what we call love. Actual love means, let me act so that you increase your Krishna consciousness.
As we are receiving the certification and our service, can it be maintained constantly?
What does Krishna say at the end of the 14th chapter of Bhagavad Gita? Mamsi yoga vicharena, bhakti yogena sevate. Sagunayam samatichyaitan, brahma bhuyaya kalpate. If you engage in devotional service without stop, then you at once are beyond the three modes of material nature. And you can taste amrita, the nectar. Problem is our devotional service is interrupted because of selfish motives, conditions. We have to learn how to be attached to Krishna's service through so-called happiness and through so-called distress. This material world is a distressing place. So devotees have to learn how to remain fixed in Krishna's service even in this distress. That's easier when you have the association of nice devotees. Srila Prabhupada once explained, anything can be tolerated in good association. So we have to learn how to support one another. Not that when someone's down, you see a devotee a little bit down, and ah, just see her in my eye. And you always in my eye. You're out of it. Now, we should try to support each other. Think what you can do to try to help that person heal. Support it in devotional service. And it'll always be appreciated, but you're just supposed to try because that person's part of Krishna.
Yes.
Krishna sent you a chance to do something.
What would
be sent
to
your attempt to do something? Yeah. If you're trying to
get something
different, how do you get something like that? Yes, so you sent to your attempt.
Okay,
so I didn't do something with the faith. No. Victory or defeat's not your concern. The attempt is sanctioned. You just do your best. The rest is up to Krishna. Success or failure in preaching is superficial. The attitude is to be like a soldier in the field. You're just doing it because that's your duty. Even apparent defeat is actually success. Krishna just wants you to try, that's all. Also, you've got to understand, it may be that a lot of times that Krishna's fulfilling the desire of the person you've approached. You don't want this book, Super Soul is telling him, you don't want this. You want to be a nonsense. Don't take it. So Krishna is rewarding both of you accordingly. He's rewarding you for trying to engage the person, and he's rewarding that person's material desires and allowing that person to avoid him. So everybody is getting. You're getting. The person who's avoiding is getting based on their desire. How perfectly all this is coordinated. Yes, if the devotee is so sincere, Krishna phones in the heart of the person, they'll say, anyway, you lucked out. In spite of being a nonsense, you're being a person by such a sincere devotee. So let's take it anyway. Yeah. For those of you who are distributing books, remember, book distribution is self-realization. You get to see every day these things right in front of your eyes. What is theoretical for others, what they can only hear about indirectly, you're seeing right in front of your eyes. Big movie screen. You're seeing people's material desires, how miserable they are. You don't have any delusions. You see the boys and girls walking down the street together, looking in the complete bliss. You see their dried up, shriveled up faces. You can sense the happy taste that they're trying to get. You see all that. And you see amazing things happen, how people turn to Krishna, how people engage in Krishna's service. You see all that firsthand. That's why it's an enlivening service. You're far away from religious belief. The Sankirtan devotee is far beyond religious belief. Because you're actually distributing Krishna. Directly, you're not distributing religious beliefs. You're actually distributing the love of Krishna. You get to see it all firsthand. And therefore your realization and conviction becomes very strong. Just think about what I said. When you're asleep at night, where are you? Huh? Are you in a dream or are you laying in your sleeping bag, wherever you guys? Where are you? That. But actually, if you're dreaming, you're in the dream, right? But I looked at it from another point of view, you're in the bed. So. Pure soul is always pure consciousness and never out of pure consciousness. That's the thought in the third canto of the Bhagavatam. Conversation between the Buddha and Maitreya Muni. One example given by Prabhupada in the purport that a teacher told a student in class, if you keep, you know, making mischief during class time, what I'm going to do is I'm going to cut your head off and put it at the front of the classroom for you to see it. So that example given to show how it is we're in Maya. It's just an illusion arranged to satisfy our crazy perverted desires. Or another example given is, child keeps demanding of the mother to see, I want the moon, I want the moon, I must have the moon. And so finally the mother just is tired of explaining to the child and can't have the moon. So the mother takes a hand mirror and catches a reflection of the moon in it and gives the mirror to the child to reflect the moon in it. There's the moon. In one sense it's right, yes? But it's only reflection. So the Vedas say asanga gayam purusha. There's no actual contact between matter and the spirit soul. You just imagine it. By chanting Hare Krishna, you reduce this hallucination. Come out of the dream through sound. Like you're sleeping in the morning, lost in the dream world. And Charlene calls you, Dana, Dana, wake up, wake up. The sound vibration wakes you up. I'm not in that dream actually. Understand? Mm-hmm. Causes you to lose sight of Krishna, you forget Krishna. Just like distress somebody. Material happiness is a fever, fills the consciousness with illusory hopes for material enjoyment. And it fades, and that letdown can be also disturbing, just like the happiness itself.
I was so happy. I was feeling good.
Greg, any That is Siddhanta. What does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? Vedaishta sarvaya aham eva veda. Vedanta krit. Yes, Krishna says, by all the Vedas I am to be known. I'm the goal of Vedic knowledge. In fact, I'm the compiler of Vedic knowledge. So Vedanta, anta means end. That's Krishna. The residence of Vrindavan, that is Siddhanta, that is Vedanta. The conclusion. Yeah. So, can you imagine being here? Yeah. Because of your negative experiences in the material world, you come to the brilliant deduction that perfection will mean no personalism. Yeah. So, can you imagine being a teenager again? Bewildered teenager?
Well, remember
what the teenage years are like for most of it? Totally bewildered, chaotic time, painful.
It's not really personalism itself, but something. Because it's all in the time.
Well, teenage years, you know, pure pressure, everybody's enjoying the being, handling the blood and the hormones, and what to do. And think about going through your teenage, your ignorant teenage years again, with so many embarrassing experiences. So, that's just an example about how you think, I don't want to be a person again. I don't want to have an identity again. Perfection must mean to lose my identity.
So, because what holds you back from crossing from person to person? Could it be that you're scared of identifying with the body again?
How is it that what?
You could be scared of identifying with the body again? Even though you'd like...
You're afraid of having a personal identity.
But not identity with the body. They're not identity with both.
Material or spiritual, you're afraid of having an identity, no matter how you see that identity. Just had it with an identity.
It's pretty horrible having an
identity. Huh?
It's pretty horrible having an identity for a while.
How about your solution?
I think, well...
Why not clean yourself up? Like a sick person say, it's pretty horrible having a body. You go through, jump out the hospital window? The cure? No, the cure is to become healthy. Like when you had a girlfriend, you know, and it turned sour. Oh, it's pretty bad having a girlfriend. Does that mean you never had a girlfriend again? No, you just, well, just let me get a better one. Right? So the solution is to come to your senses. Find out what the normal existence is, not the end existence. Carol, any questions? Taking it all in. And all I can have to because
is it connected if you want to is that the right moment?
What case?
The place you get concerned.
Yes, your life has to be full of rasa taste. You have to get it from somewhere. Yes, you should want to have the taste of serving Krishna. You will get just by conscientiously serving Krishna. But you just can't, you know, lay on your reader all day and say, I just want that taste. And you gotta, you know, actively do something.
So because we want taste, it's not going to take it away because we're at that moment.
Taste is there immediately by Lord Chaitanya's arrangement. You can get the taste immediately. But then to continue getting the taste, you've got to, you know, gotta pay for it. You get the taste first, but pay later. Krishna is not very liberal. Krishna says, pay first, taste later. It's not a theoretical thing, you know, like, you gotta kind of, you know, intellectually beat yourself into a frame of mind, you know. Try to get the taste. Try to get the taste. Yeah, form bhakti yoga, yeah? All right. Yeah? They can do whatever you like. But Krishna doesn't interfere generally with people's independence. So Baba told one girl, thank you for coming. He said, you just keep going every day. And it takes some dedication to do that. There'll be so many disturbances. Maya doesn't want to become that dedicated. Even there may be setbacks. Doesn't mean your whole life is setback. We have to learn how to kind of pick ourselves up. In Krishna consciousness, after a stumble and pushing it. And we need to know how to support one another.
Yeah? When we become Krishna consciousness now, can we still have my brain consciousness? What happens to the sound vibrations that you used to hear before you move on to my sound?
The Hare Krishna mantra takes over your life. Wherever you go, wherever you meet, you should be saying, Krishna, Krishna. Every step becomes dance, every word becomes a song. Krishna, Krishna. That is true. There's a great world like that. Brahma Sahita said the highest section of the spiritual world. Every step is dance, every word is song.
So is there a fear of not being able to communicate when that starts
happening? You'll become a robot who just says Krishna. I mean, you notice everybody here, they never ask you how you're doing? Have you noticed that?
Huh?
Huh? No, everyone always asks you how you're doing, right?
What do you mean?
Oh, this is what I said. When you come here, don't they ask how you're doing?
Oh,
you!
I'm probably the person who's got this person in the middle.
Krishna consciousness means concern. The real concern. So we're not afraid to ask how someone's doing. We're concerned that they are reviving their Krishna consciousness. Even if you're not the body, but still we're concerned if you're sick. Doesn't mean we ignore you off. You're sick. Anyway, he's not the body. Yes. So we should have support and concern for each other as parts of Krishna.
Yeah.
No, it just means you got burned once and won't do it again. Set your hand in the fire once.
So you could have turned if you wanted to.
You won't. That's the way this thing works. You got better things to do than that. Krishna is all attractive. You got better things to do. And better things to be thinking about. It'll just be like a flash. It's like when you were a little girl. Every day it seemed so full and so important, but now it's just a flash for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Attraction to Krishna. Attraction to Krishna's glory. Desire to escape distress can only push you so far. And as you start forgetting that you were distressed. No, you have, your spiritual life has to have a much more substantial foundation than just the desire to escape distress. You have to develop your attraction to Krishna, to serve. It's like, it's a fact, by the time you're in your 30s, you'll probably forget about all your miserable teenage years and early in your early things. You'll probably forget about it. So unless you develop attraction to Krishna, you know, you could just start feeling reinvigorated about material life again. Because you'll forget.